What's poppin', y'all? What's poppin'? Salute to everybody. Did anybody show some love? Make sure y'all, you know, show your boys some love, man, for a Christmas present, man. If you rock with this channel, you know what I'm saying? I'll be sure to shout y'all out, you know what I'm saying, on the following live stream that I do. So, yeah, ain't nobody show no love, but I appreciate all y'all. Make sure y'all tap in on the Patreon, man. Chris Stokes, all right, humiliated these young men for a record deal, son. It's a lot to this whole B2K and Marcus Houston thing, but I tried my best to dive deep on it. They was like, yo, you got to make a part two to this. I don't really think it needs a part two. It just, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's kind of crazy. And also, we got the missing children, all right? Shipped in containers. It's crazy right now, man. You know what I'm saying? Over a half a million children is gone, and nobody knows why. Nobody knows why. And there's nobody talking about this. There's nobody talking about this. I kind of find this crazy because they will push in the algorithm, right? Fat Joe and him arguing with the FBA, but they won't push this type of nonsense. Like, they won't push this. They won't push these type of topics in the algorithm. But you know, this platform is very biased, so you know, we just gotta, you know, do what we gotta do. But salute to everybody that joins the Patreon. If you would like to join the Patreon, the link is in the description. Alright. I'ma shout some people out real quick. So we gonna be doing something. I'ma say a code word, right, throughout this live stream. And I'm going to give somebody $100 via Cash App. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give somebody $100 when I say the code word, because I want to do crowd participation. All right. So I'm going to give back to the people for the holidays and all of that. So when I say the code word, you know what I'm saying? Then y'all know what time it is, man. You know what I mean? Salute to everybody on the replay, gang. I got y'all. You know what I mean? Traquan, what's popping? First in the building. My man Traquan, God's own DJ, what's popping? Lacey Lavender, Kyoko, what's popping? Tay from North, Ill Individual, what's popping? Bomber League, Atlanta since 82. Middleman Media, Damia Lewis. Brandon Ely, Subio Rossi, what's poppin'? Recavelli, what's poppin'? Elizabeth Marie, what's poppin'? BP, what's poppin'? So's Jay. So's Jay said, that Chris Stokes video, wow. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I should put that on YouTube or not, but it was like a mini documentary, son. I was like, yo, it's so many videos that people ain't even aware of, but sheesh. Lacey Lavender, what's popping? The Sweetest B, what's popping? I can't say that, my mans. I see what you put. He said something about some pizza boxes. I can't even say that. Salute K, what's popping? Salute K. Thank you as well, Kay. I appreciate you. Hopefully I'm saying your name right. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Salute, Say Less. Nasir, what's popping? Amero, what's popping? All right, so we got some stuff to talk about today, right? Got three topics to talk about in particular. Now, I want to start with record deals, okay, with record deals. Now, when I started this channel, right, I wasn't exposing the industry like that. I wasn't doing exposing the industry videos. And, you know, I was kind of like giving people insights on looking out for certain things in record contracts, because I had Def Jam's memorandum. You understand? And when I saw the percentage that artists were entitled to when they first signed their contracts, you know, I seen, like, the game is, it was rigged. It was rigged. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't meant for anybody that signs a record deal to prosper. You get what I'm saying? And there was many more pages that I have, but I can't show because it has people's signatures on it, right? But I'm going to show y'all a video, and it's going to pertain to signing record deals. Okay, so for all y'all out there that still want to be entertainers or artists, okay, you got to watch this video, okay? You got to watch this video. And then we're going to be talking about an ex-gang member, okay, by the name of BJ, okay, who is a bounty hunter from L.A. He reveals that the gangs, okay, are tied in with Satanism. But if you watch this video that I did on Patreon, how the NIA created and infiltrated the gang culture, okay, I broke it down how they tied in with the people, if you know what I'm saying. Because we got to use code words. But he's going to talk about it. We're going to play that interview because it's going up right now. But salute to BJ. You know what I'm saying? Because he dropped some jewels in there. Then we're going to be talking about MIA. She exposed the elite. All right? And she's on a whole different path right now. Salute to her. She got a lot of stuff going on. So it's about to be crazy. This live is going to be crazy. Make sure y'all hit the like button for your boy. If you don't hit the like button and you just hit, because there's no reason why I should have 7,000 views and 600 likes. That's crazy to me. That's crazy. And I know some of y'all watching this on your TV, you know, you're driving while you know, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? I get it. But show your boy a little love. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all. You know what I'm saying? Because then I'm going to think that half of y'all are some bots. That's all. All right, but let's get into this video real quick. And we're going to talk about record deals. Let's talk about it real quick. What's popping, y'all? Salute to everybody here. Let's get into the record deals.
Industry rule number 4,080. Record company people are shady.
Yeah, the music business plays this Jedi mind trick on you, where the whole thing's set up to be rapacious and take advantage of your weakness. If you get success and you have leverage, they'll get out of your way because you're making them a lot of money. But the minute you're not making them as much money, then they step in and they start playing these Jedi mind tricks on you. We know what to do. You know, the public's going to forget about you. I mean, I've heard all these things. Like, you know, this kind of weird, like, yeah, you're in the room, but, you know, we're the arbiter of whether you can stay in the room. They do these 360 deals where it's like,
right.
If you get a perfume deal, if you, yeah, like, your whole world,
they own you.
We own a piece of your whole world. And fame is such a great quotient in American life now that you can see where kids would trade fame and give and be willing to give away, like, the profit part. Look no further than the deals that the record labels cut with the streaming services. They got into ownership equity deals with the streaming services in an arrangement for them to have an equity position. They agreed to very low rates for the artist's music. But as Spotify and the other streaming services raise up in their equity position, the labels benefit. So the labels pimped out their own artist to take a greater equity position in a rising business.
Industry rule number 4,080. Record company people are shady.
One thing that did happen during the 60s was some music of an unusual or experimental nature did get recorded and did get released. Now look at who the executives were in those companies at those times. Not hip young guys. These were cigar-chomping old guys who looked at the product that came and said, I don't know. Who knows what it is? Record it, stick it out. If it sells, all right. We were better off with those guys than we are now with the supposedly hip young executives. And he's saying, well, we can't take a chance on this because it's just simply, that's not what the kids really want. And I know, you know, and they got that attitude. And the day you get rid of that attitude and get back to who knows, take a chance, you know, that entrepreneurial spirit where even if you don't like or understand what the record is that's coming in the door, the person who is in the executive chair may not be the final arbiter of taste of the entire population.
Industry rule number 4080, record company people are shady.
I don't know if most people have seen long form contracts. They're insane. And there's all these little things thrown in. It's kind of like legislating, you know, legislature for a government. They put up this big issue, but underneath that issue, there's like 17 other little laws that they threw in that they're not talking about. So when you say yes to this one thing, you're actually saying yes to like 45 other things.
There's a worse one. They used to have damage fees with digital downloads. Digital downloads, like at first they were doing that, like they just trying to get away with murder, you know, just like, let's leave it in there. Let's see if the lawyer sees it kind of thing.
Yeah, Metallica is a big exception. But a lot of the metal bands, you've heard of that you consider very successful metal bands are in situations where they, you know, they need to diversify. I think the idea, you know, that we all had as kids, you know, we're going to make it and our one band that we're in is going to make us all this money and be our sole source of it. I think that's gone for the most part, unless you're very, very lucky. That's not the case anymore.
Industry rule number 4080, record company people are shady.
For younger bands that don't have the draw that we do, it's incredibly difficult. It really is.
Sure.
For bands that don't understand or that don't fully take advantage of how the machine actually works, it's incredibly difficult. Every band needs to really pay attention to what their record contract says. They look at what their royalty rate is. If you realize you're getting 0.07 cents for every stream and your contract only says that you get 15 points on the record after you've recouped
everything. There's a lot of zeros after that decimal.
Exactly. So it just keeps on being reduced and reduced and reduced mm-hmm. and reduced, and you have to really pay attention to it. You have to negotiate. You have to hardball. You have to, and you have to try and improvise and adapt and overcome. I've said that a million times.
I wasn't really taking large advances from the recording companies. I was recording the albums myself in my own studio. So the way I looked at it, I owned the work because I paid for it. And I did all the work. I created it, so I felt like it should belong to me. That said, the companies felt otherwise. And they would always hold this contract up and say, well, you signed it. And I say, well, I understand that. It's not like I want to leave. I just want to, you know, talk about this thing and see if we can't make it more fair. Of course, they wouldn't change, because if they changed, they wouldn't really exist. It shouldn't be a situation where they own the album or the work. We're talking about intellectual copyright. If they're going to be indeed a delivery service, then that's fine. But even FedEx doesn't say that they own the thing that they ship.
Industry rule number 4080, record company people are shady.
When I first started, I came into it with such a sense of idealism that that music was ultimately, which it is, an expression of your soul. 2 months into my first professional thing, I realized that it's a really ugly industry, like any industry would be. I'm sure logging or any industry is ugly when you start getting into the money of it. But music, in a way, more so, because it's monetizing something that is your passion.
I'm an independently owned artist. I kept my publishing. All the things that I could have done smart, believe it or not, I learned from street level in what I call the bar none, the music business. I have some great friends, but bar none is the sleaziest business in the world. It's a business where there's 50 ways to get rich and rock the world, and there's 50 ways to get screwed from just one incident.
The music industry, it is a joke. Every band that they signed, they tried to make sound like the last band to perpetuate this myth of that's what music should be. That bit them in the ass, because now we're down to watching literally America's best f-ing singer or dancing with singers or whatever the f-ing reality f-ing they got going as our source of popular music. But we still don't get f-ing paid for anything we do, and we travel around town to town hoping for scraps of food.
Industry rule number 4080. Record company people are shady.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about this. Salute to Nostalgic Games. He said, F the music entertainment biz. Learn how to day trade or code and you'll be better off than a 360 deal. Well, here's the thing, right? And I'm going to give some people out there a jewel to all my producers out there. I know a person, personally, I know them, that makes $500 a day selling beats online. Okay, selling beats online. I know a person personally that makes $500 a day selling beats online, and they're not popular. They don't have a popular YouTube channel. They just make type beats, and they make $500 a day selling beats online to people in Africa, Australia, you know. And I'll give y'all the source. You have to, if you understand the music business right now, you kind of have to, you know, it's sad to say, but you got to like cutthroat. You got to go beneath, you know, a price that an average producer would charge. So if a person is charging $3,000 for a beat, you got to charge half of that. But your beat got to be better. You know what I'm saying? But I know somebody that's making $500 a day, all right, making beats on the internet. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just how you do things. If you know, and I got the source, but I can't say how to do that on YouTube. I'm not giving that information out for free. No, I wouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? Because that's people's livelihood. I wouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? But it's a lot that goes on. They said, Jay, my homeboy and he says instead of getting his stripes, he gets tossed like once a month by, hey, yo, like, man, that's crazy. That's crazy. But, yo, let's talk about industry plans real quick, right? Let's talk about industry plans real quick because I want to show y'all this, right? Now, look at this, y'all. Look, just check this out. And I want y'all to see something with Glorilla and Sexy Red. They did an interview, right? With XXL, and I want y'all to pay attention to what Sexy Red says, okay? Because we gotta clarify this. It's to the point where now they know that we know, because they're selling us garbage, they're selling us poison, especially to the black community. They're selling us poison. All right, and if you watch this whole interview, Glorilla was like, oh, they try to put stuff on me that I ain't never do. Glorilla, you sold your soul. You got an Illuminati tattoo on your knee. Stop capping with the people, son. You got an all-seeing eye on your knee. Explain that tattoo, please. Why did you get that? But I want to play this for y'all real quick. Check this out real quick.
How do you want to open up the doors for women in hip-hop?
I feel like we open them up for them because, like, we from the trenches. Like, they can relate to us. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like they picked up a random girl from the hood and just gave her some money and put her on TV. That's how I feel when I look at myself. Because I be like,
what?
Hey, you
know. What? What? Wait a minute. I hope y'all can hear that. Did y'all hear what she said? Did y'all hear what she said? Did y'all hear what she said? She said they picked up a random girl from the hood. They. Who are they? Sexy Red. Who are they? Who are they? They picked up a random girl from the hood and put on TV. Did y'all hear it? Did y'all hear it? Please tell me. If you heard it, press 1, please. So Jay said they. It's, yeah, yes. JD Lay said that, that's what they saying. Look, let's play it again.
Girl, I feel like we open them up for them because, like, we from the trenches. Like, they can relate to us. Mm-hmm. Like,
we from the trenches. They can relate to us. So they playing on the strings of black people. But the person that's funding her is a yarmulke. We already know this.
I feel like they picked up a random girl from the hood and just gave her some money and put her on TV. That's how I feel when I look at myself. Because I'd be like, ain't no way. Like,
she wasn't even expecting to be famous. They picked up a random girl from the hood and put her on TV, bruh. Maybach said, they, there you go. They, who are they? Sexy Red, who are they? Who are they? But see, they'll put, now see, here's the thing though. This is what you gotta understand, is that people like Sexy Red, right? And mind you, there's videos of her on the internet, all over the internet, of her hanging out with FBG Duck before she got famous, right? Now, them same people that recorded that footage or was around in that circle could have said, oh, she's naive. Grab her up. She sold her soul. She already told the people that, yeah, she's in the Illuminati. She already said that. She already said that. You get what I'm saying? She already admitted that she's in the Illuminati. So when you saying that, you got to understand the way the music business works is, if you're dying to sell your soul to these people, they won't pick you. They only go for the vulnerable people. The people that ain't got nothing to lose or dumb or they ain't got common sense. They're going to pick these people up and make them into stars. That's all they do. You got to wait your turn. Jerome Sutton said, oh, I didn't know she was around FBG Duck. Yeah, go look that up. There's videos online. Just type in Sexy Red FBG Duck. She was around them before she got famous. And that could be a whole sacrifice. That could be a whole sacrifice, whether we know it or not. She could have been behind that because when did Duck die? Let me Google when Duck died. Let's Google this because it'll make perfect sense. We could connect the dots right now. When did FBG Duck pass? 2020. He died August 4th, 2020. And she got popping the following year. So you got to understand, this business is ran around that. It's all a joke. Like the dude said, it's all a joke, man. It's all a joke, man.
Is this a prank? I don't know. It's weird.
Look, yeah, it is a prank, Sexy Red. But let's get into something else. So, BJ the Bounty Hunter explains how, you know, the gangs is tied into Satan worship and rituals. Now, I'm going to play this clip, salute to the blue couch, real life. Please don't strike my video. Okay, I'm giving y'all a shout out. If y'all want to go watch the video, make sure y'all go subscribe to Real Life. But I want to do a breakdown. I didn't watch the whole video, but it's kind of crazy how all of this is tied in. You know what I'm saying?
We were known in L.A. for devil worship.
Right.
Because okay. that was a part of our cult. You know, we became the devil worshipers, bro.
Right.
And I'm giving it to you with all honesty because that was something that I was part of my life that in 1992, becoming the peace treaty advocate is what took me out of that element.
Right, and they practiced devil worshiping back in the day. Did you know anything about back in the day? Others, and I can't think of their names right now, but they're from California, right? And they practiced devil worshiping back in the day. Did you know anything about that? And they were Bloods, and they grew up real good, but then they got into devil worshiping. I don't know their names off the top of my head.
The set he talking about is devil, because I'm not affiliated, so I could say this, but the interviewer is asking him about the Devil Lane's Bloods, right, which resided, I believe, in Pasadena, California, if I'm not mistaken. They resided in Pasadena, and the Devil Lane's Bloods used to worship the devil, right? And then they transferred over and called it the Denver Lane Bloods. So they switched their name once people got hip. They're like, yo, y'all niggas worshiping the devil over here? They switched their name to the Denver Lane Bloods. But keep it going.
Did you ever heard of any gangbangers praying to the devil to get, you know?
Hey, I'm going to tell you this, and I mean this shit from the bottom of my heart, and I don't say it for no viral aspect. You asked me an honest question, and it really, from a spiritual standpoint, bro, that shit just hit me. It hit me a certain kind of way, because I'm like, how the fuck this nigga know?
Right.
What kind of research has he been doing?
Right. I just watch a lot of gang shit.
But, bro, I was from a crew. When I got paroled out of Folsom in 1986, bro, right. You're doing a joke. I got paroled out of Folsom. I got recruited in this crew, Money Mac and Murder. Mm-hmm. And my initiation in this crew was, if I want to come up and I wanted my own, and I want to be able to establish my own crew of niggas and establish my own as the leader that I was, then okay, here we go. Here go your front. They're gonna give you your bird. But you're responsible for your bird, and you're responsible for getting it to the next stage. So this when the OT game hit us in 1984-85. But what is the OT game, Big Cap? Out of town.
Okay.
This is when we got into the whoop, doubling up our shit, taking one bird, flipping it into two, and we ship it. Feel me? Basically, you know, out of town distribution. So from that point, I was given a bird. And that bird was broke down into a cookie, which is two big cookies. You cook it in a binker, it breaks down into cookies. So I got a bird. Bust it down, put it in the jockey strap, strap it around, put it on me, put my drawers on, walk straight through the airport, get on the airplane. At that time, it was safe haven to do it like that, because it wasn't this high tech, dogs, none of that. TSA was a whole different ball game.
September
11th,
yeah.
It was like you literally can walk with it in your hand, you know what I mean? Until they got wind of it. And that was for at least a good 7 or 8 years, it was like that. So once I got involved from that aspect and I got into the clique, come to find out, the founder, you know, one of the leaders, was this young cat. Great cat from Antis Park, Miller's Gangster area. I ain't gonna utilize the name, because one of my bros, he's my dog, he's rest in peace. But we were known in LA for devil worship.
Right.
Because okay. that was part of our cult. You know, we became the devil worshipers, bro.
Right.
And I'm
now listen to what he says though. But I wanna show y'all this. If you really want to know, because I talked about this in my video, and the peoples is connected to this. The peoples, the suit and ties is connected to the gangs, bro, since the beginning of time. I did my history on this. You understand? I did my history on this. If you didn't see this video, you out the loop. It'll expose everything. Even down to Chicago gangs. The Chicago gangs even played the part. It's all connected. I can't show it because YouTube will block some of the clips and say, yeah, this video can't be showed in this place, and this place. But it's all connected, though. It's all connected. Let's keep it going.
Giving it to you with all honesty, because that was something that I was part of my life that in 1992, becoming the peace treaty advocate is what took me out of that element where I started trying to give my soul back to God.
Right. Mm. That's why you said earlier you had sold your soul. Is that why you mentioned that?
Yeah.
So if you don't mind, can we dive a little deep into the...
Hey, man, I'm fucked up, man.
Yeah, no, no.
Like,
no.
God damn, that's crazy.
So I want to ask this, and the reason I'm asking this is for people of young ages, you know, your mind can be influenced. You know, I have a son that's, he just turned 20, and I could just see his mind get influenced by just certain things, right? And so if you're practicing devil worshiping, what are some of the things that you would have to do when you were either talking to the devil or what did he want?
Well, basically, our ritual aspect of it was basically we'd be smoking, getting high, a couple of homies. Because one thing about me, I never smoked with no hard narcotics. I never smoked drugs. I never tooted cocaine. I didn't fuck with nothing. I smoked my weed. That was it. Yeah. I never got into the drinking up until later on into my 40s.
Right. You ever fuck with the wet angel dust?
None of that shit. I didn't need none of it, but I was already volatile. My temper. I'm temperament.
Right.
I'm a fighter, trigger man. Whatever you need, I'm a bring it.
Right.
You know what I mean? My father instilled that in me because my daddy was a war vet. So, like I said, I bought it from Kansas City, being around all my uncles and my daddy, and four of his brothers being from Vietnam and war veterans. So I grew up shooting at an early age, 8 years old, hunting.
Right.
That's why it's one of my favorite, biggest hobbies in sports right now.
Right. So the first thing you killed was like animal, like hunting and shit when you was young. Right.
So
that's why I was asking.
So
like,
going back into the question of the ritual, our particular standpoint of rituals was we were just more or less suicidal. Like, give you an example. The homie say, I'm gonna just use the word G as a name. I'm gonna just use G.
Okay.
The homie G say, hey, fool. You know, I just went and got my $1 million policy, fool. Because, you know, I might just die tomorrow.
Right.
You say shit like that. And some shit, what? But in actuality, he's serious. So now here it is. We fall in lead. We going to get policies. So I went and got my policy. We had just went and bought us a 20-foot Bayliner. We pieced up, went and got us a 20-foot Bayliner, right?
Yeah.
Boat. And we had to start throwing these parties on San Pedro Harbor. Where all the LA was, all the Damus from different hoods would come to the beach. We were throwing these big old super beach parties and shit. So we bought the boat, then we bought jet skis. So I was on my jet ski one day. We out there clowning in the water. We about 8-9 deep. We clowning. And mind you, I just got this policy, bro. Not even 5-6 days that I got this policy on myself. And so I'm dipping in the water and my good smart dumb ass not realizing, hey man, you're not on pavement. This thing not gonna just stop. So when I went to dip, I tipped the nose in the water. Whoop. And the rocks to the shore, it spent like this. It took me right on up the rocks.
Right.
So I let the bike go. It flew off of it. And the bike just blew. Blah. So here come the Coast Guard, all that. They had to come and get me. One of the homies pulled up. I jumped on his jet ski, got off the jet ski. They come get mine out the water. 3 days later, we had our main house. Once again, I jump on a motorcycle. It's one of my little homies' bikes, his bike. I tell him, hey, let me ride right quick. So I jump on his motorcycle, and I cut ass coming down 132nd. I'm in Compton in Westside Parkwood Hood. And I'm coming down 132nd, and I'm finna cross Central, and it's all ongoing traffic. It's a main boulevard. And I go to break down and the bike ski on me, not stopping instantly. And I go straight through ongoing traffic. And a diesel and a couple of cars, like just really barely missed me. And I bust down, came out with a quick left without hitting the fence and the gate, the wall, because that was my next stop, that wall. And I hit that left and came out, I was like, whew, and just like a whole, it was like a whole spirit came through me, like a protection that stopped me from dying right then and there instantly. Because my next impact was that wall, bro.
Right.
That was, it was that wall, and once I hit that wall, if I let go of the bite, I'm damaged regardless. And I'm on a little speed motorcycle bike, you feel me? So it was like, it was all bad. I said, stop. When I pulled up, they all cheering and going crazy. Ah, they crazy. All the time I'm just looking at them going like this. Man, nigga, I just damn near died.
Right.
People don't understand near-death experiences, but it's real though. It's real though. It is definitely real. Let's keep going.
You know what I mean? And then of course, that kind of brushed off of me and I go into my little laughter and yeah, shit was crazy, motherfucker. That's dumb shit, man. You know what I'm saying? But that was sort of our ways of our rituals. And then, you know, just being on point as far as just knowing we didn't give a fuck.
So would you contribute that you not dying because the devil practicing?
Basically. That's our shield. It ain't, at this time, it ain't God. God not protecting me. Satan is protecting me. Whatever I do.
Right.
If a nigga shoot me right now, nigga, I'm coming back and get you, nigga.
Think about how many rappers that sell they soul get shot 9 times, 12 times, 20 times, and they still live. You get what I'm saying? I did a video on ESTG about all of this stuff, man. The devil be carrying these people. There's a song on G-Unit's album, which is called Footprints. And Young Buck is rapping the whole song, right? But 50's on the hook. He says, first it was one set of footprints in the sand. Then it was two set of footprints in the sand. He said, God don't walk with me. He carry me, man. God don't walk with me. He carry me, man. So who's the he? Now, he ain't talking about God. He talking about the devil, nigga. He talking about the devil. First, it was one set of footprints in the sand. Then it was two set of footprints in the sand. He said, God don't walk with me. God don't walk with me. He carry me, man. He talking about the devil, bro. You gotta peep the script. He's talking about the devil. Keep it moving.
He got me, fool.
Right.
Feel me? That's why many times I didn't get shot when I got shot at. Niggas was on me trying to knock. Boom, blah, 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 blam. I'm knocking back. Boom, blah, 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 blam. We knocking. Bullets ain't hit me, though.
Right.
I done hit plenty of niggas because I can really shoot. Right. And I creeps. I walk up on a nigga. Nigga, I might walk up on you looking like an old bitch.
Right.
And walk right up on your bitch ass and give you what you needed, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't give a fuck.
Right, right, right.
That's really how volatile I was, bro. I didn't give a fuck.
Right.
But I thank God. He took me out of that element, bro.
Right, right, right.
Because I wouldn't be here today, you know, to be able to be a father, raise my kids, love my firstborn grandson. Just being here, period, bro, and just having this change of venue. You know, for me, even to sit here and to share this with you guys, and it's fine to be on the blue couch, man, by the way. You know, I told him, nigga, I was coming, boy. For me, it's different, nigga.
Right.
Yeah, Miss Wright, I'm right here too, Miss Wright.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, man, so it's just that knowing coming from where I come from, bro, and then being on this internet and becoming, you know, what I have.
Somebody said, Jerome said, he said, man, I really liked that song and didn't catch that. Wow, because it's the play in your face. You see, lyrics are it's all of this stuff is spell work. when artists write songs, it's all to put a spell on the masses. Whether it's gangster rap, whether it's R&B, whether it's pop, whatever, you listening to these songs and you don't realize that witches and warlocks are writing this stuff. You know how many interviews that I watched and people were saying Dr. Dre would go in the booth with the rapper and say, yo, instead of you saying it like this, say it like this. Instead of you rapping it like this, say it like this. Because he's a warlock. He's telling these people what to do. He has the power. So when you got a powerful warlock on your side like Dr. Dre or Jimmy Iovine, they're going to tell these people what to say. You get what I'm saying? It's all manipulation. Now, you go out there and think that 50 talking about the Lord. Yeah, first it was one set of footprints in the sand, and it was two set of footprints in the sand. God don't walk with me. He carry me, man. Wait, but who's he? Who is he? You could have just said, God don't walk me. God don't walk with me. God carry me, man. You understand? It's manipulation.
Have become in the internet world and also having to run in my own channels and things of that nature. It's just that for me, it came with a lot of growth.
Right.
Because I had to take a lot of shit, well, you know?
So how did you, all right, so I'm going to walk with you in the game. So you just don't give a fuck. You that nigga, you kill, you know, do whatever you fucking got to do.
Allegedly
kill, yeah. Or whatever the fuck you do. You know what I'm saying? You hit, you know what I'm saying? So how do you go from, you know, I'm worshiping the devil to be like, nah, God really got me?
Well, you niggas cheering on Woody, funny ass did it. Why I can't do it?
No, I'm just saying,
no,
like,
that's a whole different category. Yeah, I just had to throw that out there. Yeah, right.
So I'm saying, like, no, just like.
I'm going to answer it.
Go ahead.
It damn sure is not overnight.
Right.
It's not overnight, fam. For me, it's not overnight. That's why I said I gave 30 years to him.
Right.
30 fucking years. No, not as a dummy. I literally had carried the red flag in my pocket for 30 straight years and gang bang. Nah, bruh. I gang bang, became a D-boy, criminal organized, all type of organized structures of crimes, elements of crimes which led me to prison systems.
Right.
My prison world, all that shit combined together, just that whole lifestyle for 30 years. 30 years in the streets until I said, you know what? Fuck this shit. Enough is enough. I ain't fucking with the streets. I ain't fucking with the hood. None of this shit no more because I did it. I gave enough. What am I going to do? I'm going to keep doing it till I die?
Right.
Because that's the only element I'm going to get out of it. Or the rest of my life in prison. Once again, my integrity and intelligence kicks in. You better than that. And this, which is the spirit of my integrity and my intelligence talking to me. Are you ready to come home?
Right.
And because becoming a father and doing something that other gangsters ain't done, never done, and I can really say that and brag and really boast on that, that nigga, how many of you niggas can say you delivered your kids, nigga, out your woman pussy? Open that shit up, come on, let's go.
Right.
And you delivered them. Yeah. Cut the umbilical cord, named them, sent them to the doctor, nigga, and you raised them all the way to college. And they speak three different languages.
Yeah.
You feel me?
That's gangster.
That's gangster.
Right.
So those was the type of things I took myself on levels on, man, and I seen those changes and transitions. And I know the devotion that I gave to my kids, oh man, I gotta make a choice. I can't live this double life, man. I can't allow this friction to spin me up because A1, I got a good thing going over here where I got a set career in the entertainment field. I done established a name for myself in the entertainment field as well. Now I have these beautiful babies that God has blessed me with. God, Satan didn't give me this. He pissed off. He got me running into obstacles right now because shit is going on. I done got a little pussy nigga over here that testing me, so I got to go over here and knock on this nigga door and handle my business. But when I'm trying to do good and think good, but this nigga tests me now. He see I'm trying to go to different directions, and that's when the tests has come. When all the wolves, all the niggas come out the woodwork, the tough shit.
Yeah. It ain't no joke. It is not a joke. But make sure y'all tap in on the Patreon. Like I said, I talked about all of this. I don't know why my streaming platform is saying 500 people, but then the actual YouTube thing is saying 642. It's bogus. This is all bogus, man. This whole streaming nonsense is all rigged. It's bogus. Don't quit your day job to become a streamer because they cheat. Okay? They're liars and they're cheaters. But I talked about all of this. I talked about how the white hats is involved with the gangs and all of that. You know what I'm saying? Went into details about it. Let me get some people up here, man. I don't understand that. That's bogus, man. They said, wait, he sold his soul but got out? Nah, I don't think so. Yeah, you can't get out. Salute to Charles Wilson, man. He said, Brother Jay, it's real. I'm chosen ones. All chosen ones. We get spiritual, mental, physical, emotional, social attacks. I went through it since 70s. This is true. You know what I'm saying? People that are chosen, you know, to do God's will out here in the world, right, will be attacked. It may not be from, you know, the general public or people that you deal with every day, but it'll come from somewhere else. It'll come from your boss, your coworkers, your family, your distant family, people that you would least expect it to come from. It'll come from them, you know, especially if things are going good, because if you have a bond, let's say for instance, right? If you in a relationship or whatever, right? You dealing with somebody, these demons will come from out of nowhere to basically destroy what you got going on, because they don't have no, they need your energy to feed off of. This is what you call leeches. This is why gang stalkers exist. This is why psychotic people exist, because they need to feed off of that energy. You know what I'm saying? They need to. They really, really need to. And it's a sick world that we live in, but understand that stuff is very, very real, man. I can't read y'all comments. I don't know what's going on. But let's play this next clip. So now MIA, who was an artist, all right, and she was under the likes of Jay-Z, Kanye West, all of these other people. She got that song called Paper Planes, right? But she's on a whole mission right now, kind of like exposing the industry. So let's play her clip real quick. And she going to talk about how all of this stuff is connected. Now, I told y'all this before, but they don't believe me when I say it. I guess you got to hear from an industry person, huh? I guess that's what you got to do.
Maya, how long did the high last for you? Where I'm talking like, you know, it doesn't get bigger than...
Somebody said MIA is part of them too. I don't know. I don't think so. She's too direct. You know what I'm saying? With her ways, like, you know, don't get me wrong. She doesn't really say too much, but I don't think she's one of them. And the do-rag that she got on protects you from radiation. Let's just leave it there.
Super Bowl. Right, you're going to perform Super Bowl with Madonna, you know, 150 plus million people watching. That's cream of the crop, right? Which I even think that led to a lawsuit, if I'm not mistaken, like a $1.5 million lawsuit, because you gave him the bird, or what was the issue there?
The bird.
Right.
Yeah. I gave them the bird, then I got sued. Yeah. That's what happened. That was 2012.
Yeah. And what? Now, why did they sue you for giving the bird? Because Janet gave more than a bird. Then I don't know if she got sued. She was celebrated. What's the difference?
That's a good point. So the whole Janet Jackson Super Bowl thing, when she Justin Timberlake snatched her joint off and revealed her, you know, her personal parts. She didn't get sued, but why y'all sue MIA for giving the middle finger? That's kind of weird. That's kind of weird. Let you know who playing what game.
So that's the image where you did that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got the NFL to sue you? Okay, and then apparently that 1.5 turned into even more afterwards, right?
It was 16.6.
How could they justify a $16.6 million lawsuit?
Wow.
I know.
What ended up happening to that? Did that just get dismissed? And
wow.
Luckily, I'm not supposed to talk about it. That was the thing. They wanted me to apologize, and I said no. Because I thought that was a silly thing to be worked up over it. And I said that I wanted to see the...
PA said, Janet got SA'd. Are you serious, bro? Are you serious? He said, Janet got SA'd, bro. Are you serious? That was a ritual. Are you serious? That was a whole ritual in front of your face. You really think that she was... like, oh, I don't think that, I didn't know this was going to happen. I didn't know this was going to, are you serious, bro? Are you serious? I know you're not serious, bro. You can't be. You can't be serious. He said that Janet got essayed. You can't be serious. Bro, I could tell you some stuff that'll go over your head. Just know that that's a whole ritual, son. And certain groups do that in their ritual. But we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there. We'll just leave it there for you. Alright? Use a newbie, as they called it.
Number of... because for Janet, like 500,000 people apparently wrote in to complain. And I was like, can I see how many people complained about my bird? And they told me it was 222. And I was like, that's just silly. Like, you can't sue me over 222 people complaining. I mean, you know, especially if like 120 million people watched it. It doesn't make sense. But...
do you know if Janet ended up paying a fine or no? CBS fined $550,000 for Super Bowl incident. CBS 20 owned and operated station would each fine the maximum amount for Janet Jackson's Super Bowl incident, $550. To go from $550 to $16 million, that's a lot of... it's probably the most expensive middle finger.
I'm the bad girl. You know. I was the bad girl. Not I am. I was the bad girl. So in everyone's mind, it was like the other. You know, she's like invading America with a middle finger, and we have to make an example out of
her. That's a good point. So a foreigner comes up on the stage at an American event, which is the NFL Super Bowl, and gives the crowd the finger. We're going to take your spot. Has anybody seen, what's homeboy name that kneeled? I didn't forgot his name. Dang. I didn't forget. That's how bad it is. Jay-Z said we need to stop it. What's his name, y'all? I'm reading the comments. What's dude name with the curly hair? And he made a stand, and they just dismembered him. What is his name? Lord Glass, what's popping, my G? What's popping? Salute to the whole West Side. Kaepernick. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Billy Batson. Kaepernick. So you mean to tell me, right, when you think about all of this, it's corporations, bruh. Like, she gives the middle finger to America, right? And Kaepernick is another prime example. Jay-Z was like, yeah, and then turned his back on him. Yeah, we passed kneeling, you know what I'm saying? Because he made a statement. But I think that it was because, okay, you come from over Sri Lanka, and you gonna give us the bird? Really? Nah, we gotta shut that down.
Of her or something, you know.
Got it. So yeah. How long did the high last? When you went in and the fast high life, money coming in, success, fame, how long did that last?
Well, they say that the Beatles wrote all their best songs.
Salute the BP, man. I appreciate you, BP. Salute the BP and Kayla. Appreciate y'all.
Songs in 4 years. So I knew I had about a 4 year window. I would say like that, you know. So, like, maybe. It actually lasted a bit longer than that because 2005 to maybe 2013. And then I wanted to also spend more time being a mum, you know, and it wasn't. It started feeling like it wasn't right to be everywhere and, you know, and give such a, I don't know, priority to my career, you know. And, so I think it was a combination of two things. It's like the Super Bowl happened, but also my kid was like 3 at the time.
Yo, that clip that I just played, y'all, with Sexy Red, she said the same thing. She was like, yo, I be crying when I gotta leave the house. And then she said, these people make me, they make me go. They tell me when my kids is crying, I still gotta go. You doing it for them. You see what I'm saying? Like, you don't have a life when you're a musician. You don't have a regular life. You can't balance the two. You can't be famous and do all of this stuff and then want to live a regular life. Your kids will grow up to not know you. And then you'll have all of this money in the bank and they won't respect you. And then when you die, they just take your money and throw it down the drain. Look at Ron Johnson from The Different World. Go look up that clip. That man's father left him millions of dollars. Ron Johnson, the light-skinned dude with the glasses from A Different World, his father left him a whole company when he died. Do you know that man threw all that money in the garbage? He threw that money away. And now Ron Johnson is broke. Google it. I promise you this. He's got a video on YouTube where he said his father left him a business. And he threw all of that money in the garbage. He blew it on women and drugs. That's what he said. Yeah, they said Ron Johnson. Yes, Ron Johnson. The dude with the glasses from A Different World. If you know what I'm talking about, then you know. His father left him a business. He didn't even have to do TV. His father left him a business and he blew all of that money. So when you're looking at these rappers and celebrities and they selling their soul to be rich and famous, to take care of their family and their kids, none of that stuff even matters. Like I said the other day, I ain't tell y'all this, but a lot of these people that are in power, the elite, they don't care about money. They care about power. You see, they know that debt slaves care about money. They know that people that go to jobs and want to break out of this matrix, they know that we care about money. How can I just get $100,000 real quick? What can I do to do this? How can I get rich? How I got to get rich? And do I got to do this? And yeah. But the people on top already got the power. They don't care about paper money. They got power already. They already got power. Power is worth more than money, if you didn't know. Power is worth way more than money. Money means nothing to these people. You got people like Bill Gates that say, I'm not leaving none of my wealth to my kids. Forget them. My power is worth more than that. Somebody come along and say, I'm a Gates. guess what? They can live the life of luxury just off their last name. Because why? That name has power.
And it was important to, like, settle somewhere and put him in school and, you know, start kind of looking at it differently.
Got it. Was it a, was it like a sudden disconnect from everything, or was it a, you know, gradual distancing from the limelight?
Okay, well, there was a moment when I signed with Roc Nation was, you know, I went into the custody battle zone and things, yeah, got difficult. I think that that album should have been better than it was, and it wasn't. And I think that's when I discovered how sort of connected everything was. And, you know, you couldn't really bypass it. Whether it didn't matter how great my songs were or what they were, you know, representing or how real it was, or, you know, it 'cause before I always assumed all the artists that I like in music were always very authentic, you know, and I always thought that music was about that. That there is like this commercial aspect where you had pop music where you have 20 writers come in and make the most incredible pop song, and it's a pop song that's specially written for the chart, and it's a $1 million song, and you had that, but simultaneously you had very authentic artists, you know. And I felt like I was probably the last of that, you know. And then after that, the space for that kind of started to deplete, because this became such a tied up thing, you know. It's like the era of Drake, you know.
Wow. And, so you don't put Drake in the authentic category?
No.
No, I put him in the business category. Yeah. But
didn't I say this? It's a business. It's a business.
By then, it all become business.
How about Taylor Swift? Also business, or?
I don't really know her history, actually. Like, I don't actually know where Taylor's...
A business. When she says a business, she means that the dude grew up on Nickelodeon. He was groomed for the industry. He grew up on Nickelodeon. When that died out, he became a singer. When that singing crap died out, he became a gangster rapper. Do you understand the process? It's a business. And all parties involved reap from the benefits. He just getting a small portion of the spoon. That's it. Drake is just getting a small portion of the spoon. This is why he's suing the companies now. Because he realizes that they used him as a tool. It's a business, bro. Nobody wins. They don't matter. They don't care who you are. Nobody wins.
Swift comes from, like, if she actually is a songwriter and came for country music or whatever. I haven't studied
Taylor's history.
Yeah, I haven't actually. It's like we live in two different spheres, I suppose. But yeah, in the hip hop world, it was definitely like, it was already happening, you know, by 2008, when companies were buying up the way you sell tickets to concerts, the alcohol that's sold at the concerts, to the venue, and then to the thing, and then the marketing, and the blogs, and the platform, like everything was being bought by one thing, you know? So I that's also why I felt like maybe I was the last authentic thing that happened, because I came at that time when internet was liberal, you know, or that it was free world, you know? And so the concept of blogs, the concept of internet, like downloads, and the concept of social media that was just kind of like free and designed for like a purpose of actually, you know, communicating whatever people was into. And all of this was kind of fresh, you know. So I would say that it was all kind of tied in, but that's It's kind of very interesting to think about it. It's like my window was probably the same window as the internet, you know? And then when it got tied up and sewn up and owned, it's like the things they get rid of is that sort of authenticity.
Yeah. You said if I was today, you wouldn't know who I am. I wouldn't be here right now if it was today. Because your timing was almost good because you were able to kind of, you know, almost create your own path of success. But you said, I asked you a question. I said, how dark and deceptive and, you know, is the music industry? You said there's a good and there's a bad, and a lot of times the most powerful people make it all the way to the top.
Yeah, but see, I'm philosophical. You're right. That is a dark thing. But I think that is in every industry, you know.
You think it is. You think it's in every industry.
Do you think that's in the pharmaceutical industry?
For sure, yes. Absolutely.
Is it in the military industrial complex?
Absolutely, yes. For sure.
Is it in social media world of like, you know, online companies and whatever? I think so. Is it in the banks? Yes. Like it is across the board.
But a lot of it is for profit. Which makes sense. The motive is profit. Mm. Music sometimes, you know, when you read, again, I'm not in it. I'm just purely a bystander that reads some of these stories sometimes. Music is, you hear about sometimes the abuse of talent or the taking advantage of the talent or the ruthless side of it where people are controlled and they're owned for many, many years to come and they better do this or else where...
Somebody said, where's MIA from? She's from Sri Lanka. She's from Sri Lanka. If you watch this whole interview, she talks about, you know, a lot of stuff that took place in Sri Lanka. You know what I mean? And Sri Lankan people have it real bad. They really do. If there's a woman that's pretty over there, they throw acid in their face. It's crazy. So y'all baddies over here in America, y'all got it good. All right. Y'all got it good. Talking about some, I can go outside and get 10 numbers a day. Yeah, well, you go out there to Sri Lanka, they're going to put battery acid in your face. How about that?
On the business side, the big pharma side, the military industrial complex, I think that's a lobbyist. You got a lot of lobbying going on.
Mm-hmm. But see, mine was a political issue.
Yeah.
So I don't put it to like Jay-Z did this thing. Because I just saw them as they're all American artists. Mm-hmm. They have to do that to you. Because I was a political artist, mm-hmm. you know, and so I feel like, especially like supporting Julian Assange, like that happened in 2010, like 2 years before the Super Bowl event. So when you have American companies using you as a template, but creating artists that they can benefit off that make 100 times more money with your template. I wasn't offended because of course that is what they will do. That's just how it goes in the history of how that has happened.
In these uncertain times, if there's
all right, so let's go to the second part. Where she talk about the power that she had in the industry. This is even more crazy. Salute to Valuetainment. You know what I'm saying? Make sure y'all go subscribe to their channel, man. I don't want to take away from their product. Please don't strike my channel. I'm just reviewing. But y'all got to see this, man. Because she's going to talk about how they shadow banned her. Which a lot of people don't understand that. When you go against the grain in the industry, or what they would call breaking the oath, these people don't want you to progress. Okay? They don't want you to progress. And they will do anything to prevent you from progressing. Just like they fined her damn near her whole budget. Okay? But then fined Janet Jackson $500,000. How does that even make sense? Because she threw up the middle finger? How does that make sense? It's dirty business. You know what I'm saying? It's dirty business. Check this out, though. Let's play this clip real quick.
A couple months ago, and we did a nice podcast together. And it was interesting just listening to him, kind of processing what he has to say and the fall between him and, you know, how it didn't work out and Jay-Z and we talk Kanye.
4X Snipe said, I've been watching Jay in the background since he had less than 1K subs. Use a gangster for that, son. Use a gangster for that, son. Salute to you, my G. Salute to you, man. He said, amazing to see your come up. Thank you, bruh. I appreciate you, man. I really do appreciate you, 4X Snipe, man. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate you. But let's keep it going, man.
Talk a bunch of different things together. How much of it was, you know, the fact that maybe, you know, some personalities, you know, if you come from a very humble beginnings, you live in a regular life, and then all of a sudden, boom, fame and money hits you, you don't know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait a minute, what the hell just happened? Imposter syndrome, I'm just a regular guy, what is this all about? You know, why is this happening to me? And then sometimes you feel you have even more authority and you push more and you're a bigger asshole or a bigger diva to deal with. And there's people on both sides, right? Some, they're harder to work with because they're like, become bigger divas. Some, they're harder to work with because they become bigger assholes.
Right.
You know, almost like tyrants and dictators. And my...
Yo, think about this before, I don't want to keep stopping it, but think about this, right? And I say this all the time. When you go, let's say, for instance, you go to a concert and do a meet and greet with your favorite celebrity, right? Pay attention to how they treat you. Just because you gave them a little extra dollars, but pay attention to how they treat people. It's like, all right, take a picture. Okay, keep it moving. Take a picture, keep it moving. They will never have a real conversation with the people that support them. They will never sit down and have a heart-to-heart conversation with you. Like, yo, how's your day going? Yo, is everything good? Yeah, yeah, yeah. They'll look at you crazy like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of, I know a lot of celebrities, but I don't associate with myself with them no more, right? But when I was in the industry, I used to try to talk to these people. And the only person, I'm going to be honest with you, the only person that was really down to earth was J-Rock. That was the only person that was down to earth, like that really had a down to earth conversation with, you know what I'm saying, with regular people. Like, you know what I'm saying? I told y'all this story before. He came out to New York and we about to go to an event. This dude got on a flannel and it was like 90 degrees outside. I said to J-Rock, I said, yo, son, you know it's 90 degrees outside. You know, why you got on a flannel, bro? Yeah, man, you know I gotta stay home. I gotta stay warm. But those are the only people. It's like when you get to a certain level in the industry, like a Beyonce or Jay-Z, they will shun the people that put them there. And it's so crazy that this guy is saying this because, you know, we made these people. And it all derives from idolatry. You get what I'm saying? It's all idolatry. Like, whether the music is good, you separate that from the artist. They don't give a damn. You get what I'm saying? As long as you paying them or putting money in their pocket, they don't even think that, okay, this person probably bought my album. That never crosses their mind. They just think, oh, well, it's a fan. It's a fan. That's a fan. But they don't think like, yo, you know, this person bought. I'm going to tell y'all some real spill. I'm going to tell y'all some real spill right now, and I'm going to continue the video. When I was, I want to say maybe about 10 or 11, right? I cut school, and this is how influential music is. I cut school, right? And I never forget this day. It was raining. And if you're from Southside, you know what I'm talking about. I cut school this day, and I was like 10 or 11, and I rode my bike all the way, right, to Sam Goody that was in Green Acres Mall. I rode my bike all the way there and I counted up pennies and change out my little water bottle jug jar that I had in my room, right? And went and bought Lil' Kim's album Lil' Kim, the first album, Hardcore, with my little money that I saved up. I think the cassette was like $8 or $10 or something like that at the time. I bought the tape. Now, that little $8 or $10 that I took from my jar, it didn't matter to Lil' Kim. That didn't matter to her. I bought the album, right? I bought the album, and when I got home, I never forget, I was soaking wet because it was raining, and I listened to the album front to back because I was a huge Bad Boy fan. Anything that Biggie and Bad Boy put out at that time, I was on it, right? Years later, I met Lil' Kim in front of the furniture store on Jamaica Avenue, and she was cool. She was a real down-to-earth person. She was cool. She said hi, you know what I'm saying? I ain't take no pictures with her, nothing, but I was like shocked. But the average artist don't really know the influence that they have on young children or people in general. This is why that whole idolatry thing comes into place. It's weird. But I remember that just like yesterday. It was crazy. I remember that. You know what I'm saying? Brandon Eady said, was she fighting the case then? Nah, this was before that. You know what I'm saying? This was way before that. Like, I'm going to tell y'all how old I am right now. I'm going to tell y'all how old I am. So, if you from New York, you know what I'm talking about. We had something called Tropical Fantasies, right? Rumor has it that Lil' Kim drank a bunch of Tropical Fantasies on stage and threw up babies. I'll just leave it there. This video probably won't get monetized. But if you remember that rumor back in the day, there was a rumor that Lil' Kim drank a Tropical Fantasy and threw up babies on the stage. That's how old I am. That's how old I am. She threw up babies on the stage, if you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? And some people are like, what in the world? Jay, what are you talking about? Bruh, I'm trying to tell you. I've been around the block and then some. I could tell y'all stories that'll make you look at me crazy. Like, bro, what the? You went through that? Yes. Yes, nigga. They said, 4X Snipe said, never heard of that, bruh. I'm trying to tell you, that's an old story. Lil' Kim was on stage performing Get Money with Biggie. And apparently, I'm going to just say it like this, we're being respectful. Because it's out there. It's if you look hard enough, it's out there. All right? She was on stage. And she was rapping and start throwing up babies, bro. It's out there. Off the Tropical Fantasy, son. I promise you this.
I wear the highway.
Well, money.
Yeah.
Money makes you become who you are.
More of what you are.
Exactly.
It reveals what
so
you
are. So it's not that money corrupts you. Money amplifies your
corrupted being. I agree. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. But do you think a part of like, you know, like yourself with the climb and, you know, some of the setbacks that you have, how much of that do you think it was your own doing versus no, it was done to you?
I do think that there was, you know, I suffered a lot with jealousy.
Brandon Ely said, dang, that was in 94. Yeah. He said, I wasn't even thought about. My daddy was in Statesville back then. Bruh, I'm trying to tell you. I know some stuff, son. I know some stuff about some of these YouTubers too, but I won't say nothing. I don't want those problems. But let's keep it going.
As a person, and I because I'm so, I don't know, my brain's built creatively. I think I am similar to Kanye in that way. We think about ideas and we think about like the world and we're like, oh, and get inspired and we're triggered a lot by things and, you know, our brain jumps around and I don't spend time in that sort of feeling, but I realize that a lot of people in power were always jealous of me because I had this weird ability to do it out of nothing, you know, and do things that other people strive for years and years and years to do, which I didn't really think was a thing before when I first came out. I didn't realize that was a thing that people strived for, you know, and invested tons of money into and did all this stuff. And to me, it happened very naturally. And it's like, I don't know, it's like it maybe was my destiny to become a musician. And I say that now, but wouldn't have said that 15 years ago. Mm. So I think in that sense, I think half of it, I think, could be that, you know, my original goal was just to come from a very traumatized place and a traumatic life experience and make that a positive thing and put it out into the world to teach people that you could come from anything and be positive.
The fact that she came from dirt roads and made it to the Super Bowl says everything. It says a lot. She came from dirt roads, Sri Lanka, where there's nothing, no opportunities. There's no music business in Sri Lanka. She made it from there to performing on the Super Bowl. And somebody in the chat said this a couple minutes ago. She's no exception to the rule. She sold her soul too. I don't doubt that. But like I said yesterday, people have a change of heart and they realize like, yo, like you say, like you could wake up this morning and be on a good vibe, and then tomorrow be like, yo, I don't want to do this no more. We're human beings. You get what I'm saying? So sometimes people could realize like, yo, I want to sell my soul to the devil to be famous, right? And they go out and do that. And then when they go out and do it, they realize, well, this ain't really what I want to do. So now they have a change of heart and try to fix things. You understand? I told you, I'm a prime example of that. I didn't dealt with all of that nonsense before. And I realized, I'm like, yo, this ain't it. This is not it. It's fabricated. It's not even real. It's not real. But the average person on the outside looking in will see this industry and think that, you know, it's going to change their life. Nah, man, you got to work harder now. You're not happy. It's so much that comes with that, man. It's so much. They said the yin and yang. Yeah, they Kwani said, she said she was sold for politics.
But it wasn't necessarily that I wanted to be this very rich person, you know, or even fame was not my like end goal. The end goal was being creative and being able to give therapy to yourself.
Being created. Pay attention. Being created.
Through art, you know, that you come out a better person. And that was happening and it was really great and other people were connecting to it and the connection was really inspiring and super interesting and really amazing. And, you know, like, I don't know how that happens in the world, but that was a really awesome thing to experience.
The code word is creativity.
But I think that in the end, there has to, you know, there was a line drawn and people were being made into very rich people. And it was always day one said that I cannot be financially empowered, I think, by a lot of people behind the scenes, because the power would have been too much. That I already had the power, you know, to talk to people and to communicate and to connect with, you know, if I had to make a song with £10, it would still have an impact as much as a song made with $1 million, you know. And that was a really a spontaneous and a natural thing. And I think people thought, oh, if she had money as well, she'd be too crazy, you know. And so my money was always curbed, and financially I was always curbed from the beginning, because the power was too much, you know. People would, like, turn up to my shows with, like, AK-47 magazines, and, you know, people would be, like, it was very, very real, like...
Really? AK-47 magazine?
Yeah, and get me to sign guns, and, you know, and people, like, there was a show I did where a Palestinian girl threw this, like, letter up on the stage, and she put, like, a chain and a pendant inside it. And she was writing a letter telling me about how her mum died in her lap, you know, and that listening to my music in the tent got her through. And it's just pretty intense, you know.
I feel it. I saw an interview of yours. It was one of the earlier videos where you're talking to your mom and your mom is walking away and she's washing the dishes. I think she's, and you're like, I haven't seen them for 16 years. I'm trying to find a way to rebuild a relationship with them and rekindle that relationship. What was that moment? Have you seen this clip? I can show it to you if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, sure.
In these uncertain times.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get to the business. Let's get to the business, man. Make sure, if you want to know, make sure you tap in on the Patreon, man. He said, Charles Wilson, thank you for the super chat. He said, Brother Jay, proud of you, brother. Another Who's Awakened. Awesome to see and know. And those of us have been wide woke, third eye, wide open, antennas up. Salute to you, man. Salute to Jason 410. He said, shouts to Jay and the mob. Have holidays. Have a good holidays to everyone. Jay, that Cash App, you 52. Merry Christmas, brother. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, brother. Is that my dude? I think that's my dude from back in the day, man. I think that's my dude, man. Salute to you, man. I thank you, man. I don't know if that's you, but I thank you, bro. I don't want to put your business out there, but thank you, bro. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. Yeah. Okay, that's my guy. Yo, salute to Jason 410. Thank you, bro. I appreciate you, man. You... You the gangster, man. That's my guy. Thank you, man. I appreciate you, bruh. I appreciate you. But if you check out this video, you know what I'm saying? It's going to tell you everything. I don't want to say too much, man. I don't want to say too much. But here's what I will tell y'all. Hopefully you grasp the jewels that came through this video right now. I don't understand how this stream thing is saying 100 people less than what it is right now. That's kind of strange, but it is what it is. I'm not even mad. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even mad. This thing is saying 500 people, but on the live stream, it say 600. Yeah, it's all good, man. It's all good. Salute to, Jason, what's poppin'? Salute to the whole B-more, man. Damn. Salute to the whole B-more, man. Cherry Hill, man. The East Side, the West Side, everybody. You know what I'm saying? I love y'all all out there. I got family out there, man. I love y'all, man. World. Everybody in the DMV, I respect y'all, man. For real. I definitely respect y'all, man. Like, y'all in the Midwest, y'all got my heart, man. For real. You know what I'm saying? That's where I reside at. They said international range said great content. As always, man, like I try to give y'all something. I'm gonna go live tomorrow. I got some more stuff to talk about. You know what I'm saying? But I just wanted to give y'all some insight. Like, yo, it's not fake. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people think this stuff is fake, but it's not fake, man. You know what I mean? We got to be real with ourselves, man. Like, you know, whether we believe in this stuff or not, just take whatever information you can get from this channel, my channel, and just go with that. If it don't sound right to you and it sound fabricated, all right, yo, this he lying, whatever. Just click it off. But if it makes sense, you know what I'm saying? You know, just show love to your boy, man. That's all. Because I work hard every day to make sure people understand this stuff is really going on. And I don't push a certain narrative as you need to join this religion or join this. No, I want people to know the truth, man. Like, we got to know the truth, man. It's good and evil out here. Let's be honest. It's good and evil. Whatever you choose is good and evil. And I pride myself on trying to be righteous and good. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want people out there to be misled, because at one point in time, I was 13 years old. And I thought that the music industry was going to change my life. And then once I realized that in order to be involved in that business, you had to do a whole bunch of nonsense. I want to save somebody's child. I want to save somebody's life from going down that path, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's why I'm doing this. So for all of those out there that hate what I do, you mad at what I say or whatever, I'm trying to help people, man. You know what I'm saying? The best way I know how. This is my contribution. You know what I mean? And I'm going to make sure that anybody that hit the replay and all of that stuff, and I said the code word, I'm going to make sure you have a good Christmas. Trust and believe that, man. You know what I'm saying? Trust and believe that. I'm going to make sure you have a decent Christmas on me. Because I respect y'all, man. You know what I'm saying? Y'all the reason I'm doing this right now. You know what I'm saying? So, salute to everybody, man, that's out there. I love y'all all. You know what I mean? I'm going to drop a video for y'all tomorrow on Patreon. Make sure you tap in on the Patreon, man. If you didn't tap in on the Patreon, we got some missing people. You know what I'm saying? Shit by containers. All right, and nobody's talking about this. That's a problem. And I had some people in the comments check me like, yo, Jay, did you fact check this? Yes, I did, but at the end of the day, it's still some stuff going on. So, salute to everybody that joins the Patreon, man. I talked about it. And also, we got Chris Stokes humiliates these young men for a record deal. Don't fall in this trap. Don't fall in this trap, please. Not for a record deal. I don't care how down bad you are. Do not do it. Don't do it. Your self-respect and your morals is worth way more. And people like this will plot on you. Okay, so if you made it this far in the video, check this video out. It's crazy. It will make you not ever want to sign a record deal, because this how they getting down. This how they getting down. I'm just letting you know that. I'm going to shout some people out. Starstone was popping. Humblewood said that container stuff is mad crazy. Yeah, I don't want to talk too much about that on this platform, but you know, it's so crazy that nobody's talking about that. You know what I'm saying? You got 500,000 children missing in the US and nobody's talking about it. That's kind of crazy to me. But, you know, I don't know, man. If you on the Patreon, hold on. While you up here, while I got y'all here, make sure y'all tap in with this video, because this talk about it all. Hold on, let me get y'all right. I want to show y'all this real quick, because I talked about that already. I definitely did. I talked about that already, man. And it's scary. It's a movie that I'm a watch it tonight, because I never watched a movie. And I want to tell y'all the movie, but I don't think I know the name. But it's a movie out there where they was abducting kids, man. It's kind of crazy, man. It's crazy. Hold on, let me keep going all up. I want to show y'all this, because I want y'all to know that I'm not playing when it comes to this information. I want to share it with everybody. You know what I'm saying? But I understand that YouTube doesn't want certain people talking about certain stuff, which is why my channel is Shadow Man right now. That's why I ask people to hit the like button. If you hit the like button, you know what I'm saying, I greatly appreciate you. But, you know, YouTube does not want a lot of this information out there. And I understand it. You know what I'm saying? And I understand the sick weirdos that don't want the information out there either, because they don't want their secrets to be revealed. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just their old MO. But I want to show y'all this real quick, man. I'm going to show y'all this. Make sure y'all go to the Patreon. Matter of fact, hold up. Let me do this real quick. Since we on here real quick, man. Salute to everybody that joins, man. I love y'all. Trust and believe. Trust and believe, man. I love y'all, man. Hold up. Hold up. I want to show y'all this. If y'all can hang with me for a little while, just a couple seconds, I promise you, man, you're going to be like, yo, Jay, I need to see that. I know I'm bull crabbing right now, but a lot of these dudes ain't talking about nothing anyway. A lot of these dudes ain't talking about nothing anyway, man. I'm talking about frazzle drip and everything. I said it all. I talked about everything up there. You go up on the Patreon, you might lose your mind. Like, bro, this is really going on? Yes. Yes, it's really going on, bro. Unfortunately. Somebody's behind the scenes running this whole nonsense. Hold up. Let me show y'all real quick. I want to show y'all this. I got 500 videos. I got to go through it. Hold up. He said, what's up, brother? Chocolate Portal. He said, Chocolate Portal? Nah, ain't no crazy stuff like that. There ain't nothing like that, but I don't know about that. I just want to give y'all the information. You know what I'm saying? To kind of like change the game type ish. You know what I'm saying? To wake people up. You know, I want to wake people up, man, as much as I can. We talked about Drake and everything. Bob Marley, everything. Here you go. This right here. Look. So look, y'all. Let me put this on the big screen for the people. Let me put this on the big screen for the people, man. If you go to the Patreon right now, hold on. If you go to the Patreon right now, just trust and believe. If you watch this video right here, it will change your mind. The rise of El Diablo in mainstream media. It will change your mind. Trust me. I'm talking about name brands and everything. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. I'm trying to tell you. It's I got over 500 videos that you will not see on YouTube because they play games on this thing. The rise of El Diablo in mainstream media. But if you watch it, then I talked about the ice cream company. Oh my Lord, you guys gotta, you gotta understand. I got so much work. I got so much work, man. I got so much work, man. Look, look. I promise you, you'll be disappointed. You'll be disappointed, man. You'll be disappointed.